104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
Yeah! Come on! Come on, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Are you kidding me?
No way.
I mean, are you kidding me? I'm kidding myself here. Here we go.
The engine plan is gone. For Soderbergh. Spread the shit.
I don't care if you don't know anything about hockey. I don't care when you hop on the bandwagon. Who cares?
Nice.
That's just awesome.
Don't be a hockey hater.
Don't be a hockey hater. Hockey hater? I love this Avs team. Love Bednar. One more time. Come on, Mikko.
Jim Gunplant is gone. For Soderbergh. Spread the shit.
Dressed up today, Chad. Look out.
I have to send
some pictures.
Twitter picture just to show people.
I know.
DMAC has things other than six-year-old Colorado Flash baseball jerseys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Not that I don't love the Flash. I do. But,
trim the beard, the whole shebang-a-bang over there, man.
What do you think?
I'm not used to it.
I know.
It's leaving me kind of speechless right now.
Somebody said, what's your fashion sensor? I said, well, what I want to be is one of those jerk, like if you see the TV show Billionaires and they're jerk investment bankers out in the pit, in Axelrod's pit, you know, jerk investment bankers from Connecticut, which I also think are similar to wealthy tool jobs that dress down in Aspen. That's sort of the look I'm going for. Now, I'm stuck here in this look because I'm short and I can't do the tall athletic look. I wish I could do the tall athletic look. The tall athletic look is like, you know, the dive bar t-shirt that barely hangs, you know, below the navel. And every now and then it comes up a tad and you've got, you know, size 32 jeans on and a pair of like brown shoes from some sort of Icelandic shoe manufacturer.
That gives away a free pair to underprivileged child.
It's just like, are those shoes worth $10 or $1,000? You're not quite sure.
They're $1,000 shoes made to look like $10
right,
shoes. They're
exactly.
Shoes that come looking like they're dirty out of the box.
Yeah, I mean, if I could look like anything, it would be that guy.
Well,
I mean, you're close.
I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about you. Yeah. I'm going to say you look great, man. That's all I'm trying to say.
So that's what I'm looking. I'm looking to be... You know, when you're flipping through an L.L. Bean catalog, you're like, look at that jerk. I want to be that guy.
Who picked those out? Did you pick those out? Or
yeah,
did your wife pick those out?
I picked it out.
It's working for you.
It's barely something.
No, man. Take the praise.
Okay. Thank you.
It's rare.
Yeah. No, I had to go shopping, though, to put some of this together.
It's working, man.
Yeah.
How about, was it 52 or 56 shots on goal yesterday?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have the answer.
I don't know. It's something like that. They just dominated things top to bottom, for sure. Thank you, my man. So, so exciting. You know, what a run at Pepsi Center. Holy cow.
Yeah, how about that?
It has just been awesome. And now, you know, they got to take it on both teams got to take it on the road a little bit. So.
There's a way to bottle that energy up.
Oh, what a run, though. What a week. What an incredible week. So much fun. And so exciting. And now the Avs are just going to win this series. This is the curse. This is the Jinxie Cat curse, to quote the morning show. But I don't know how they lose this series.
It seems inevitable. It really does. It really does.
The Nuggets are sort of a different deal.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Earl Boykins here in a little bit and preview that. But, man, it was fun, man. It was awesome. Did you end up watching a little bit of the game?
Yeah. I'm good. Call me a bandwagon guy, but, you know, you can't help but get swept up a little bit in Avs fever right now. The kale thing is awesome. I saw the fan waving the head of kale.
How funny was that?
Awesome.
How great was that?
Yeah.
That is hysterical. I didn't even know. All right, this is me being dumb. Kale is like lettuce, right?
Kale is a little bit more closer to like mustard greens, collard greens. Slightly bitter when it's raw. You can put it in the salad.
I'm saying like a head of lettuce. You get a head of kale. Like you can buy it in like that's how it grows.
A head of lettuce is going to be like a ball. More like romaine lettuce with the stalks. That's how kale comes.
Yes. Okay, so there's something to grab onto. And
at the bottom, yes.
So I can buy kale. Like, it's perfect for this purpose.
It's absolutely perfect. A head of lettuce would be too weird because it's too ball-like.
So a kale's got a handle.
Yeah. It's got a base, like a root on it, like romaine lettuce does.
I know what kale is, but I've never seen kale in its natural state. I've always just seen kale like on a... isn't there like a crunchy kale? Like you can... Kale chips
are delicious. You can you can oven like roast kale, put some season on it. It's like delicious.
But I mean, just don't order like friggin' a head of kale.
No.
But the dude shaking the head of that was awesome.
Fantastic. I loved it. It's.
Are you allowed to bring food into the Pepsi Center? Like, is that? There's no way that's allowed.
Stuff the kale down his pants.
Those hockey sweaters are big, though. I mean, how much it probably could get through security, right? It's just kale. Every person in an Avs game looks like they're wearing the triple XL outfit anyway. Vic Fangio would fit right in in terms of gear.
Dad sweats.
I'm looking at Vic again today. I'm starting to like this guy more and more and more, by the way. But we were looking. There was another coach. We think it was Modkins. There's a lot of new coaches over there in Broncos land. Right, John? It's Broncos land, not Broncos country.
Welcome to Bronco land.
Just checking. And so I was kind of teasing about, you know, Fangio's wearing the double sweats, the grays. There was another coach going gray on gray today with the double sweats. And I was like, wow. Okay. And then he was walking past me and I got a good look at these sweatpants. And they're kind of sweet. I'm not going to lie. Because they got the adjustable waistband, of course.
Right.
Which is, you know, the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Pockets. And back pocket.
Does the pocket have a little snap so you can make sure stuff stays in there?
If I got that close to a coach, he probably would be within his rights to thrash me. So I don't know what the pocket attachment actually is. But I'm just telling you, there's a back pocket. But pockets are critical.
For the dad sweats, of course.
That's right. Dad sweats, you've got to have pockets.
You need a place to put your wallet, the keys, where's the phone go.
Right.
Yeah.
All that.
Mm-hmm.
Like sweats, shorts without pockets to me are useless.
They're only for hooping.
Right. And there are sweats. Most sweats, it seems to me most sweats do not have pockets.
At least back pockets. You may find some that have the side pockets for your hands, but the back pocket, no.
No. That's so I'm looking at these sweats like these.
They work. I'll call my contact over at the Broncos equipment room and see if we can verify the snap on the back pocket.
If I could get a pair of these gray sweats, if I could, we would all love to dress like Vic Fangio does every day.
All right. D-Mac, gray sweats.
I mean.
Extra shorts.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, the great thing, too, about these sweats, they bunch.
I'm not sure why it's so funny to me.
They bunch all over the place.
Right.
I mean, you look like an elephant out there because there's all folds and it bunches. And, you know, is there a shape of that body? We're not exactly clear what the shape actually is. You know, that's that look. Mm-hmm. If we're just talking about looks. I mean, obviously, I would love to look like you. I mean, that would be crazy. You know, fit, tall, you know, I don't know, black, white, Hispanic, Polynesian, who freaking knows? If we're not real clear on that, you know, just like, you know, of course.
Right.
Sign me up. But I just got to live in my own reality.
It's working for you today, man. That's a good look.
And it's working for Fangio, too. I'm here. Yeah. Oh, listen, I think
it's Fangio.
I'm telling you, I'm a fan of Fangio sweats.
Here's my thing.
He's relaxed, Chad.
I think as style of dress, you should be tailored for the task. for Vic Fangio and who he is completely tailored for the task of being the older, wiser, more experienced coach. No nonsense.
No nonsense. And we're getting that vibe from people out there, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Colorado Flash jerseys, that fits you. You turn it for the task to come into the studio and talk about microphones, man. Talk on the microphone.
You're funny. All right, I'm going to try to just dress more like the jerk investment banker in Connecticut slash, you know.
Don't do it for me, man.
No. I'm not doing it for you. I'm just doing it because, you know, that's what I really should try to do.
There you go.
But this is like off the used rack or whatever.
It was not. I swear to God. Don't downplay it.
I'll show you the tag. Oop, what'd I do with it?
You gonna play it against sports and get a sweater? What'd you do?
I'll show you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It's got natural stretch.
That's kind of a big deal.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Bigger than the name brand says Flex.
Yeah, baby.
Natural stretch.
Yeah.
Accommodates all sizes.
Yeah. I saw that, like, it was a slim fit. I just walked away from that and went over to the classic fit natural stretch section. But look at the price, man.
The price is strong.
Then there was money off from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good purchase.
Yeah.
It plays well with your eyes.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah.
I think we're dating now.
All right.
Fangio on the...
Did we just become friends?
Yeah, we're just best friends.
You want to do some karate in the garage?
Here's Fangio on the schedule.
Just the first couple games. And after that, it's too far away and too much to worry about. But we got Oakland the first game, which will be an important division game for us. They've improved their team with their offseason moves up to this point. And they've got a bunch of draft picks here coming up, so they'll be much improved. That will be a big challenge going out there.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to hear anything interesting out of Vic Fangio for however long he's here.
No.
He's going to kind of clam up and, it's okay.
I would think after the season, in a more reflective kind of setting, I'm sure he can be quite engaging. But at this point...
I don't know about that.
I would think so.
Eh.
He's got far too much football knowledge just to, keep just throwing out, nothingness. He's got stories. He's got insight. He's got experience. Now is not the time to get into some, depth on the schedule. Now is not the time to go and get all detailed about Chris Harris Jr. and his feeling about Chris not coming to practice. But after the season, when things are all said and done, I think there will be some engaging moments with Coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath on that, but that's fine. I don't think that's why he got hired.
No, don't expect it during the season, but in any offseason, it'll come.
By the way, it was a good question. They asked him today, hold on. We may have that here. Let me look through my stuff here. They asked him, cut 13 if you can find it. Hey, Richie, cut 13. Tell me if you got it, okay? But, when you're not a head coach, I think it's reasonable to say, well, you've probably been thinking about things your entire life, and like how you would do things, right? Everybody has some sort of game plan. Yeah, Fangio cut 13. I thought the answer was kind of interesting today. We'll get it here in a second. But you always have different ideas of how you would do things if you were in charge. That sort of thing. And here's what he said today on that.
I did, and they didn't take it. Yeah, we did it in San Francisco.
Let me set it up a little better. What the thing was... Oh, you know what? Cut 12. I'm sorry. Can you do cut 12, and then we'll play cut 13 later? Cut 12 if you can. Sorry. It's wearing sweatpants.
Jerseys were one. That's one right there. I'm just alternating the way practice went, rather than clumping it all together, just keep moving it around.
So then he was asked, have you suggested this jersey thing? Because they're wearing the game jerseys, not practice jerseys.
You got it from Harbaugh. I heard the clip.
So, yeah, he was saying...
I did, and they didn't take it. Yeah, we did it in San Francisco, so I have to give Jim Harbaugh the footnote credit there a little bit.
All right. This is more, I mean, I guess it is literal, but it's more of kind of a metaphor here, okay? He just had a belief, just on this one thing. This is where it's more of a metaphor. He had a belief that you should wear, I guess it's literal too, game jerseys, because you play in game jerseys. Game jerseys are tighter and they're slicker. They are. Than the practice jerseys, which tend to be kind of mesh, you know, that sort of thing, and in general hang looser off the players. And he brought this up, but he wasn't the guy in charge, although they did do it at San Francisco. But he just never got anybody to buy into this idea. And I'm going to guess most other places, it was just one of those, you know, eye roll, you know, what's Vic talking about with the jerseys, you know, sort of things. Now, Harbaugh is a kook. And those type of things for Harbaugh would appear to matter. Well, guess what? It sort of matters to Vic Fangio, too. So even though this is a very small sort of thing, right? Like, who knows if it really makes a difference. He's able to do things now that he's in charge that he's always wanted to do. We'll see what else that means. See how much that matters.
I think it's a good point. I think it's you're picking up on something that's small in the specifics, but in the general sense is huge. Because if you're going to run your program, it's got to be my program. And if you are from upstairs, keep putting roadblocks on what I'm trying to do,
right,
it's going to make it very difficult for me to be successful.
It's a tricky thing when you think about any job. So whatever job you do, if you've wanted to change something for a while, I got something here. I got something here at the Fan. And this is nobody's fault. And I know it's been worked on over the years. And it's not make or break. It's not like the end of the world. But literally since I've been here at the Fan for more than 11 years, I have wanted to have a DVR in our studio.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just makes sense.
Right. Because my concept is if we just record everything, then there might be highlights and audio that we can use that don't necessarily stand out to you, because maybe it's just a quirky thing that happens during a game, and just record everything. On the surface, that makes a lot of sense, right?
I'm surprised that it hasn't happened yet. That's how much sense it makes.
It's kind of like we have a weird cable deal here, or we just don't have the machines, or just, and I'm not joking. I have brought this up more or less here at the Fan for like 11 years. So if I was really in charge of anything, like there may be some sort of bizarre emphasis on like getting a DVR in here, because it's just a little something that has bugged me for a long, long time, but it's hardly the end of the world. And it's hardly worth, you know, losing my head about that sort of thing.
I think it's fantastic because literally we could be watching a Broncos game from last year during the show while we're talking, spurring more thoughts and making this better, deeper, more Broncos-centric coverage.
And to defend people that haven't made this happen, you could get NFL Game Pass, and which we do have, and you can get the same exact thing out of it. You could do that, but it's not as kind of, I know what you're saying. You couldn't quite do it, boom.
But
it works. There's always other ways to do things. There's always other ways. And my argument is, oh, D-Mac, calm down. We can get the audio here, there, blah, blah, blah.
But it's not about that. On Monday, if the game was played on Sunday, if it's Monday, you and I are doing the show. The game is replaying. Now it's more real. It's more visceral. We're talking about something that we just saw. It gives us much more conviction to our points, and it's much more illustrative. The issue is, I don't think they do DVRs for companies and...
No, they don't. And that's a bigger issue.
Because I try to get a DVR at my office so I can watch games at my office when I'm there during the day. Right. I can't do it.
There's a reason that makes sense why it hasn't happened. It's not like they're trying to prove... I think if it could have happened, it would have. But it's just one of those things.
Right.
So, you know, let's get away from the specifics and just say, well, okay, there's something that, you know, you've had your mind on. Now you're finally in charge. You get to do it. Now, there's kind of this famous parable of a man has a son, and his son wishes for a horse. and the father gets him a horse, and somebody says, "Oh, that's the nicest thing you could do for your son." And the guy who gives the son the horse goes, "Well, we'll see." And then a week later, the son falls off the horse and breaks a leg. And the friend says to the father, "Oh, that's horrible that your son broke a leg. You know, we'll see." And then the draft comes along, and his son can't go to war because he has a broken leg, and says, "Well, that's amazing that your son can't go to war because he broke his leg." And the father says, "We'll see." And it kind of just keeps going like that. Like, you're really not sure how everything is going to fall from one thing to another. We'll see. So you never know if getting the DVR could be the worst thing in the world. And so we'll see. So you look at Fangio and you say, "Hey, that isn't that great? You know, they were in their game jerseys instead of the practice jerseys. Isn't that fantastic?" You know, we'll see. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see with Fangio, now that he gets to be in charge, whether these ideas that he's been thinking that would be better all along really are better.
True.
Because at the end of the day, he hasn't done this job before.
But part of this job is being firm in your convictions. It's hard to stand in front of a room of guys every single day and be wishy-washy and not be firm. So
yeah.
While the ultimate "we'll see" is still out there, while you're standing up in front of the guys, you have to sell it as if this is why we
that
do
is,
this.
That is correct. And you know what? I think that's a department where BJ fell short.
I probably would agree with that.
Yeah, because he did not have enough money in the bank, skins on the wall. You know, he just didn't. And that's not his fault. Like, if he does get another chance further down the line, he'll be in a much better position to have that amount of respect.
That firm conviction.
Yeah, like Cliff Kingsbury, I think the Arizona experiment, whatever happens there, is going to be the most interesting thing to watch in the NFL this year. Because if they do what everybody thinks they're going to do with Kyler Murray, they're going to be the first team, I think, to go all in with a college system in the NFL. And we'll see if they have the courage of their convictions, Chad, to go all the way with it. They're barreling down that path right now.
Oh, quickly. It's out of control.
It didn't. Actually, we kind of did see it, didn't we, with what's his face? Oregon, then Philadelphia, then San Francisco, Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
We kind of saw it with Chip Kelly. And there were moments when the Eagles were moving at 1,000 miles an hour, where it was really exciting. It wasn't sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Broncos, so Cliff Kingsbury is, where are we going? We're in outer space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're on Mars. We're in another universe. When you look at the Broncos and what they're doing, we got that DeLorean. We're back in time.
Oh, it's old school. It's an old school approach.
We are.
Despite the Kyle Shanahan influence on Scangarello and all that, it's still an old school
we're
approach.
We're in Middle Earth with Winterfell and Castle Black and dragons, and we're going way back.
Don't say fairies. They'll get offended.
There's no fairies in Game of Thrones. I can't tell you one fairy. And on that note, when we come back, the cornerback situation for the Broncos is interesting. More sound from Mike. I'm loving my man, Vic Fangio. I'm loving my guy, Chad. I'm really not a back-in-time sort of dude. I really am not. But I can't get over the... By the way, I was told by somebody with the Broncos that after Fangio had the press conference where he had to borrow khaki pants,
mm-hmm.
Within 10 minutes, he was putting the sweats on back in the office.
Nice.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Earl Boykins reflects upon the Nuggets, previews what they have coming up, and he'll join us about 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. Football at 4, we're going to preview. Got to give you some names as we get closer to the draft. D-Mac with Chad Brown.
That was a pause. You forgot.
I had a little something I wasn't trying to.
I know there's been a lot of good people in this seat over here. I'm one of 27 people to fill this seat in the last 2 months.
Sorry, I just had a little, got a little Gatorade bubble right there. Sorry. My man, Emmanuel Sanders. By the way, I did not see Sanders out at Dove Valley today. Doesn't mean he wasn't there, but he wasn't out on the practice field area. These are voluntary, by the way. By the way, just real quick, Tom Coughlin, like, basically went off and was ripping players not showing up for this part of the workout. And now the NFLPA is thinking about, you know, I don't know, getting in kind of a snit about Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin's way out of line.
Way.
It's so disrespectful. His comments are so disrespectful to players. It's mind-boggling. And I think he should be fined for his comments. Because this has been through a long negotiation between the NFLPA and ownership. And you should respect that. You should respect what the players have done in the negotiation. And you should, I think you should be, are you looking up his direct quote?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I saw his quote on Pro Football Talk earlier today. If you got somebody to be mad at, be mad at the owners. They're the ones who agreed to this offseason.
Exactly.
This offseason schedule. They agreed to this CBA.
Exactly.
Now, I played in a few Pro Bowls. Twice, Tom Coughlin was my coach.
How was that?
And let me say, that took away greatly from the Pro Bowl experience that I was hoping to have. Every year during...
He's one of those guys, man. He's one of these, you know, if you're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
Right.
One of these ding-dongs.
You know, every year before the first preseason game, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday with your baseball teams, how you made them practice going, running off on the field. Before the first preseason game... You, as an NFL player, you practice your stretch lines. How are we going to lay out our pregame activities?
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin did that for the Pro Bowl. It was just so much detail and so over the top. And these comments that he's made, not just this time, but back when he was a coach in Jacksonville and when he was in New York.
Yeah.
He's just that guy. He's just simply that guy.
Here's what he said. I was at a Super Bowl and... Bill Belichick was like opining about the awesome glory days when they used to have 3 days and full pads and how great that was. It wasn't, you know what? Why don't you put on pads and slam your head into somebody three times in one day? You got to love these guys who tell about how awesome physical punishment was to people that, and they never had to go through it.
One of the most important parts of being a coach is being okay with other people's pain.
I don't think you have to play the game in order to be a great coach. I think there's other ways you can ascertain what's good and what's not good. But don't sit there with the mountain of evidence about concussions and the problems that bring and sit there and opine about the glory days, which run contrary to what has been negotiated by this current group of players. Stop that crap, because that's what it is. So Coughlin goes... We're close to 100% attendance, and quite frankly, all our players should be here. He said to the team's website.
Yeah.
The team's website. So he's not being, like, off the cuff, or it's the team's website.
He feels completely fine and justified in what he's saying.
Did you spell that right on the team's website? This isn't somebody who just caught him, you know, going down the hall or something. This is the team's website. This is more of a... serious quote, because it is on the team's website. Like, you have a lot of time to think about stuff, Chad, when you're putting quotes on the team website. Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith are prominent players who've not been in attendance there with the Jaguars. So the response from the NFLPA, our CBA definition of voluntary is the same as the actual definition of voluntary. That's great. And prohibits anyone from threatening players to participate in voluntary workouts. This is precisely the reasons players negotiated strict work rules and bright lines when it comes to off-season activities. We know from experience that not all coaches and executives will adhere to them, and we always pursue any violations to protect our rules. Good for you, NFLPA, and Tom Coughlin should be fined.
Wow. He should be.
Because this is the problem. If you give these ding-dong coaches an inch, they'll take 10 miles. And what are you supposed to do if you're a player? you're just going to go along with it because the vast majority of players are trying to make the team. It's really an insult. I got all ticked off when I saw that story.
I got ticked off too, but I moved on. But I'm happy you brought this up because, yes, well, we are guilty of this. When someone doesn't show up for some voluntary thing and we think, you know, what's he doing? He should totally be here. Media does it. Executives do it. Coaches do it behind closed doors because they don't want to get fined by the PA when they meet in coaches' meetings. This whole voluntary thing is not as voluntary as the NFLPA would like it to be.
Yeah, and listen, I understand the coaches put the strong armor on these players behind the scenes and probably in meetings and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, there's nothing to stop them. And I definitely, if I was a player, I'd be at every single workout. I would be. Because I think it's just going to benefit me. I'd live in the city that I played in. I'd work out. I'd be around as much as humanly possible. That's just me. But if there was a collectively bargained agreement, who am I to say, hey, it should be different? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
So for the Broncos, you know, I don't care if anybody goes. These things are voluntary. And I don't think less of anybody not being there because they have their own reasons. And I'm fine with it. So Chris Harris, doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all. The fact of the matter is, if you're a young guy and you're missing out, you're going to be in trouble. They're going to cut you. You got to show up.
But you can't have it both ways, though.
It's just the reality of the situation. I'll defend their right to not be there,
right?
Because it's voluntary. But there's going to be certain ramifications of that as well. But not if you're Chris Harris. Is dude the one great thing? Maybe it's not great. You're not playing high school. It's not college. There are different set of rules for different guys depending on who you are. Correct?
Yes, we treat guys differently, but we treat each guy fairly.
That's why the concept of next man up is the most absurd NFL cliche of all time. Because next man up insinuates that all the guys are on the same level. It's just not the case.
When the coaches say they're hoping you're going to rise up to the level of the guy who's out, that's the hope. Next man up. Yeah, it's your turn. Rise up. Come on, guy. We need you.
Yeah.
We know that's not probably not going
to
happen.
But for the same thing, this is why Von Miller does need to get 16 sacks a season.
Right.
Joe Flacco does need to throw 30 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions, something like that.
There's an expectation that comes with $20 million a year.
That's why, that is why Chris Harris needs to be a Pro Bowl quality guy, that sort of thing. It's why Emmanuel Sanders needs to, you know, be spectacular. All that stuff is fair as well. All right, we'll dig deeper into it with Football at 4, and we'll spotlight Draymond Jones and why he's important for the Broncos coming up. But we'll have Earl Boykins on next, our fan Nuggets insider, previewing tonight's game. And what is it like to get booed at home? Will Barton, ouch. Details next.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam.
All right, joining us is Earl Boykins, our 104.3 The Fan Nuggets Insider, brought to you by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, rmfp.com. Check out Earl and Zach on the Mile High Hoops podcast at 104.3thefan.com. Earl, Michael Malone did not do what you recommended, and the results was awful, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I kind of felt bad for Will Barton being booed and all. I mean, what'd you think?
D-Mac, I usually don't feel bad for athletes, especially professional athletes, but yeah. I agree with what you said. I actually started to feel bad for him. And when you shoot a step back jumper off the side of the backboard, you're having a rough night. It's time to sit down.
Well, okay. I assume you feel the same now about this as you did a couple days ago, right?
Oh, yes. The 1-for-10 performance didn't change what I thought they should do. I give Coach Malone credit for this. He's going to stick with Will at least for the first 7 or 8 minutes, but I think if Will can't get it going, he'll go to the bench sooner rather than later.
Have you ever, I don't think you've ever been, I don't know, I should ask. Have you ever been booed like that, or have you ever had a teammate that's been booed like that in the playoffs?
I've never been booed like that in the playoffs, but whenever you're usually not by a home team, no.
Right. No,
I've never had a teammate booed like that at home, but you know, the Nuggets fans are, you know, they just want to win.
Yeah, obviously.
They just want to win. And from the performance that Will gave, I think if you were to ask Will honestly, did they have a right to bull? I think he would say yeah.
Okay.
I think he would say yeah. Because right now, he's not playing up to his expectations. He's not playing up to the fans' expectations. And they were there voicing their displeasure.
You know, there's, I think that the Nuggets haven't won in San Antonio, I don't know, like since 2012 or something. Is that right?
Yes.
2012?
Yes.
So,
2012.
You know, first of all, I want to know what you think about it, but my feeling on that is, well, I think it's a different team since 2012, and I just don't know how much stuff like that matters. So maybe I'll just go with you. Does stuff like that matter if a team's history presents this kind of weird thing where that vibe might, you know, pervade over the current team, even though none of them have anything to do with the years past?
Yeah, but the difference is with this team, who have they added new to this lineup that wasn't there the last couple of years? And that's the thing. They're the same team they were in the regular season, last year, 2 years ago. This current team, the guys on there, other than Millsap, I doubt if anyone won there.
So it's a bigger deal that this group hasn't won there in, like, the past couple years, rather than they haven't won there as an organization in seven or 8 years.
Yes, as an organization. Yes. I do believe that plays into the psyche because, as you can tell, just watching this Nuggets team, their psychological is so up and down.
Yeah,
it's
all
so
over
the place. They're quarter to quarter. Forget game to game. They go quarter to quarter to how they're going to play basketball. The prime example is Jamal. Jamal played seven bad quarters in one historically great quarter.
Right.
And it's hard for a coach to game plan against him, let alone Coach Malone, who coaches him. He has no idea what's going on.
All right, keep it real. Were you thinking to yourself, man, you got to sit Murray down in the fourth quarter? Or were you like, oh, no, you gotta let him play it out?
I wasn't shocked that Jamal came back in, but I did agree with you have to sit Will.
Okay.
More so that Jamal is a guy that in the past he's shown that if he makes one shot, he pretty much, his attitude is like mine as a player. If I make anything, I'm hot.
Right.
And that's how he is. Once he makes any shot, he believes that he's hot. And it's different because of this the position they play. Whereas because Jamal's the point guard, sort of the coach on the court, you're more willing to give him longer rope with the decisions and the shots that he missed, as opposed to somebody like Will Barton. Will Barton, it's easier to replace Will than it is Jamal.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, because if you're 0-for-9 and you're Jamal, you may hit your next six shots in a row. But if you're 0-for-9 and you're Will Barton, your game's done, right? Like, it's over. It's a wrap.
Yes. But that's why I was saying that I thought Will should come off the bench, just because if he comes off the bench, he doesn't feel the pressure that he feels as a starter. And the guys that he's going up against are bench guys. I think it would help Will a lot. I'm quite sure if they lose tonight, they're going to have to make a change.
Okay.
Because I was, like I said before, on Tuesday, I was shocked they didn't do it in game two because I just felt it was coming.
All right, well, what do you think about tonight then, Earl? What's your feeling?
I think tonight I expect Jamal to play better. I expect Jamal to play better. I think because when you're on the road, it's more of a team a team mindset. It's us against the world.
Right.
So you don't have as many distractions that you have at home. When you're a young, first home game, I guarantee Jamal, not just Jamal, everybody, whole family is at their game. Games one and two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a distraction. When you go on the road, it's back to normal. Just you and your teammates on the road. I expected Jamal to play well. I expect the Spurs to win game three, though. I expect the Spurs to win. I have it 103 to 90, 95, 96.
Okay.
But I expect the Spurs to win game three. I expect the Nuggets to come back and win game four.
What does it mean to a player when he gets the support that Michael Malone showed Jamal after the game?
Oh, Jamal confidence is on another level. Because it's one thing for someone to say they believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone puts you back in the game when you're playing some of your worst basketball, that just takes your confidence to another level. Knowing that no matter what, my coach believes in me as a player, but also as a person.
Good
believes
stuff.
That I'm capable of leading this team, and that's huge.
Is the Blue Arrow a good nickname?
Too low. Too low. No, I don't like the Blue Arrow. But, hey, if he likes it, it's a good thing.
I think he likes it, right? Like,
I want to say he likes it because I've never heard him come out and say anything negative regarding the name.
Yeah, to me, the Blue Arrow is like the one Avenger that does die in the movie. You know, the blue arrow goes down. What happened? It's like first 20 minutes of the movie. Ah, the Blue Arrow, you know, we lost him. You know, it's...
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Darn it. Let's win one for the Blue Arrow.
I'll give him credit. When Jamal, when he gets hot, he is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. I agree.
He is unbelievable once he gets it going. But hopefully he comes out tonight, not in neutral. Comes out and drive,
yeah.
And we can start off the game on the right note.
All right, Earl. I don't love your prediction, but it's more based in reality than fantasy. I'll stay in fantasy land and say the Nuggets get rolling, and because we just haven't seen them, we haven't seen the team for the regular season yet. And when we do see them, I think it's going to be pretty cool. But either way, we appreciate it. Thanks, Earl. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you, D.
All right, Earl Boykins, presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, rmfp.com. Check out Earl and Zach on the Mile High Hoops podcast at 1043thefan.com. When we come back, it's football at 4. Draymond Jones, who is he and why is he important? We'll tell you next.